Thank you for being here on Reformation Sunday, not just Reformation Sunday, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And our text today from the Gospel of John, Jesus speaking, and so maybe I'll say it and you can repeat it back to me. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Beautiful words there, too, of Jesus, words of promise and hope. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Freedom. 500 years ago, an Augustinian monk from a small town in Germany set out to inspire debate among academics and clergy. He hoped that the conversation would bear some fruit, that there could be some discussion. He hoped that the debate would help to reform the church that he loved. He hoped that the church would reclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the church would turn away from superstition and fear, that God's truth would once again set the people free. Now, you have to understand that 500 years ago, the church was the most powerful institution in the world. When you think of the map of Europe, think that one-third of the entire geography of Europe was owned by the Roman Catholic Church. The cardinals, the bishops, the popes, they lived lavishly. The common people, not so much. Not in the Dark Ages. Now, Martin Luther was a Catholic priest, and he visited Rome in the year 1511 on official church business. When he arrived, imagine this if you will, St. Peter's Church was just being built. It would be the largest and most expensive church ever built. And right next door, in the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo was laying on his back painting the incredible ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Luther visited Rome, and when he visited Rome, it changed his life. It seems that Rome was not all that he had imagined. We're going to watch a little film clip, and in this film clip, you're going to see Luther joining other pilgrims who have come to Rome, and what Luther's trying to do here is pay money so he can spring his grandfather out of purgatory.
Name of the deceased and relation?
Hendrik Luther. Grandfather.
And now our father on every step. When you reach the top of the stairs, Hendrik will be released from purgatory and enter the gates of heaven. Name of the deceased and relation?
Wolfram Escher.
Now, Father, on every step, when you reach the top of the stairs, Wolfram will be released from purgatory and enter the gates.
Paternoster Kies and Kate is sanctificated in honor to Advenia Megni to Fiat Volantus to the Sikh. And the most important the Adam that knows you.
Every and enter the gates of heaven.
And so he crumbles up the indulgence that he just paid for, knowing that it was worthless, and drops it. He didn't know exactly what he was seeing, but he knew it wasn't the truth, and he needed the truth to set him free. Now remember, when Martin Luther became a priest, he'd never even read, when he decided to become a priest, he'd never even read the Bible, because the Bible was not in the language of the people. When Luther left Rome, he returned to Germany, and he was disillusioned because he believed that the church that he loved had lost its way. For the next 6 years, he would study Scripture, he would lecture, he would teach about Scripture, and his heart would be warmed, and he would be lifted up by grace. Grace, grace, grace. And so it was 6 years later that Martin Luther would go to the church door in Wittenberg, and he would post the 95 Theses. And here you see him. It was not disrespectful at all. This was the bulletin board in the community. This is where you put things. And again, he wanted to spark debate. He wanted to reform the church that he loved. It was not anywhere in his mind that he could have started a church. Remember, there was only one church. And so Luther tried to spark debate. But what happened was, without his knowledge, without his approval, the newly invented printing presses of Johann Gutenberg began spinning and putting out the 95 Theses, putting out the writings of Luther, and they spread like wildfire all throughout Europe. People were reading them, people were talking about them, and people were asking what it meant that Luther was taking on the Pope and indulgences and money-making schemes of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, such debate was not to be tolerated. He was excommunicated by the Roman Emperor, Charles V, and Pope Leo X in Rome wanted him to come to Rome to be killed. Luther then stepped out the door. The Lutherans were the first ones out, but the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Mennonites and so many others were not far behind, and now there are over 9,000 Protestant denominations in the world. So what's this all about? We could go on and talk about this amazing story. I would encourage you to watch the movie, or I have lots of Luther biographies you could read, but we don't need to go through all of it this morning. Enough to say that the Reformation changed the course of Western civilization. The Reformation, alongside of the Renaissance, drove out superstition and fear and opened the world to new possibilities. The truth will set you free, Jesus said. Now, two of the core teachings of the Reformation, the first would be grace, grace, grace. Let me hear you say that. You see, Luther came to understand through the reading of Scripture that we can't earn our salvation, because if we can be good enough to earn God's favor, then what was the cross for? If we can be good enough, come to church enough, or give enough away, or achieve enough in the eyes of the world that we don't need the cross, then what did Jesus really come for? Do we need Jesus or we don't need Jesus? Luther said it's all grace, grace, grace. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. It's all about grace. God loves us. Jesus loves us. Not if we buy indulgences. Not if we come to church every week. Not if we serve in the altar guild or sing in the choir. No, God just loves us, and our entire life is a response to the grace and love that God has shown for us. So when you think of the Reformation, think grace, grace, grace. We cannot earn God's love. And a teaching that was a cornerstone of the Reformation is called a priesthood of all believers. Now, you have to remember, back in the Dark Ages, the church taught very simply that the priest and the nuns did holy work. Their work was holy. It was God's work. The rest of us supported that by giving our money so that they could do this holy work. The work that you all had was not important. It was grunt work. It was mundane. In fact, worse than that, it was a punishment to you because of the sin in the Garden of Eden, after which God said, you will toil for the rest of your life until you die. So the church taught that what you did was only to put food on your table, and what you did was only to support the priests and the nuns who did the real work of God. And Luther said, nonsense. Luther said, it's not that way. Luther said, when we are baptized in the waters of baptism, we are all ordained. And the work that you do is just as important. Don't let any priest tell you that the priest work is more important than the blacksmith's work. Don't let any nun tell you that the nun's work is more important than the undertaker or the garbage collector. It simply is not so. And Luther said, when you are baptized, you need to understand that you've been touched by the waters and called by God to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. Your work as a teacher or a lawyer or a Boeing airplane builder or a shipbuilder is every bit as important as mine. Now, I do things. I come here in the morning. I make coffee, you know. I plunge toilets once in a while. I move tables and chairs. It's what you do in your workplaces too. And sometimes someone comes and they need to cry on my shoulder. They do that. We pray together. We do that. But you know what? In your workplace or in your families, people come to cry on your shoulder too. It's holy work. Vocation, Luther taught. Christian vocation means that the places you go, only you can go. And you take Jesus with you as you go. Grace, grace, grace. The priesthood of all believers. My work's important. Yours is equally important. Now, there are two events that we're kind of headed to. One very familiar, the bread and wine of Holy Communion. And then remembering the baptism this morning of Emerson Sidney and our own baptisms, we're going to look at these two events and how they work. First, in these sacraments, you see grace, grace, grace. We don't ask, you know, if you've been good this week, come forward. If you've got your Lutheran ID card, you can come eat here. If you've been good and have no sins, then you can come here. We don't say that, do we? We say all are welcome. When babies are baptized, little Emerson Sidney this morning, she's 3 months old. She had no idea what was going on, right? She did stay awake, and she was happy, which doesn't always the case, but she had no idea. What does she bring to this community? She brings nothing. A baby, in some sense, would be a liability to a community. They got to be changed and burped and cared for and all that stuff, right? They bring nothing, and yet at the font, God says, you are loved. You are a child of God. I claim you as my own. They don't come when they have their PhD. They come as an infant. If you come at 15 or at 30 or at 50 and you have that PhD, what do you bring to God that hasn't been given to you from God? This is not about earning something. This is grace. And in the waters, God says, you are reborn, and I promise you, I love you, you are forgiven, and I am always with you. I'll never leave your side. Same message here. Bread and wine. I love you, you are forgiven, and I will never leave your side. One is a birthright into the church, and the other is eating. We're born once, we eat every day. Born once, eat every day, hear the same message, grace, grace, grace. So what's going to happen today is you're going to come forward as usual to receive the bread and wine of Holy Communion, but as you come, I'm going to encourage you to stop at the font. When you stop at the font, you're going to be greeted there on each side by a member of our church council. And if you would like to renew your baptism and you would like to hear this call from God, from one of the leaders in our parish, making the sign of the cross on your forehead and telling you, you have been ordained as a priest to follow Jesus Christ in your life. If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. All you do is as you come forward, just fold your hands like this over your chest. They'll make the sign of the cross on your forehead. They'll remind you of who you are and who God has called you to be. And then you can say, like Luther, may God help me and guide me. And then you'll move directly from there to be served communion. The bread and the wine. You see, this isn't about something way out there. This isn't about something that's academic. This is about touching our heart. And that's why God used bread and wine and water, something you come into contact with every single day. The Reformation is not over. It's still happening. It's happening in this church where people wear red. And it's happening in your lives as God works with you as you are ordained a priest in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.